Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a favorite psalm of many, many people. It was read just last week at Art's funeral, and it's been read at many funerals here too. Why is it so beloved, that particular psalm? Because it emphasizes with beautiful imagery the care and concern of the Lord God for His sheep. It emphasizes His providence, His comfort for us in the valley of the shadow of death, the final victory over our enemies, and the eternal banquet at the Lord's table in the Lord's house. All beautiful thoughts. Unfortunately, for some people, it's a beloved psalm and a beloved image because of what it doesn't say. It doesn't get into the unpleasant problem of the sin of the sheep. And while the whole psalm, as all the psalms, is really pointing to the Lord Jesus as the Christ and as the Lord and the shepherd of God's people, as an Old Testament psalm, it doesn't come right out and name Christ Jesus as the Lord, the Christ who took up the cross and laid down his life for the sins of the sheep. So, people can and do rip the psalm out of its context, avoiding the reality of sin and the offense of the cross. But the sinless really have no need of a shepherd. And a shepherd who fled from the cross wouldn't be a very good shepherd at all. The shepherd Lord and the cross on which he paid for the sins of the sheep are inseparable. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, and right away adds, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You notice that when Jesus claims to be the good shepherd, this is the very first reason he gives, the overarching thing that makes him a good shepherd. His goodness is tied to the giving of his life. His goodness is tied to his cross, primarily and overall. Why? Because his death was the only thing that could accomplish the main purpose for which he came into the world. Just before he said the words of our gospel today, Jesus said these words, "I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus came to give people not a better earthly life, but to open heaven and eternal life to all believers. He came to save us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He came to give us life and a place in the house of the Creator of the universe. He came to restore us to sonship and life, because our sin, both our inborn sin and our actual sins that we commit, had separated us from God and had doomed us to death, both temporal and eternal. Now that's what the devil wants for us. Death. Separation from God and from life. But he doesn't sell it to you that way. He masks it so that it doesn't look so bad. He hides it under promises of happiness and fulfillment and even God's approval somewhere other than in the person and the Word of Christ Jesus. And the world too, the unbelieving world, wants you to believe that true life, true happiness is found in earthly success, earthly comfort, earthly praise, earthly pleasure. But the devil and the world will destroy you and kill you eternally if you follow them. If the Christian faith is true, then there is only one door to life, and that door is Jesus himself. But the only way for him to be that door, to save you from your sin, to open heaven to you, the only way for him to give you life was to give his own life, to suffer the cross, to lie down in the valley of the shadow of death, so that, having risen from the dead, he could be there for you, be there with you, with his rod and his staff, to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you, and to bring you safely to the other side. So always keep the cross in view when you think of Jesus as shepherd. It's fine to picture him as the gentle shepherd carrying the little lamb on his shoulders. It's fine to picture him calmly walking beside the sheep in a green pasture near a flowing brook. But in those images, you should always include the nail prints in his hands. He's the shepherd who saw the wolf coming and threw himself at the wolf in order to spare the sheep. That's the main reason you should call him good, and why you should follow him as a shepherd at all. Keep the cross in view. Also, when you hear the good shepherd say, "I know my sheep and am known by my own," because he had the cross in view when he said it, when he spoke about those sheep. He knows those who belong to him because he purchased them with his blood. He knows those who belong to him because he has cleansed them with his blood in the washing of water with the Word in holy baptism, where he called them by name. He knows those who belong to him because he gives them to eat his very body and blood in the holy sacrament, his body given for them, his blood shed for them for the forgiveness of sins. This is how the shepherd is known also by his own. Keep the cross in view also when you hear the good shepherd say, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus knows and must bring the rest of his sheep into his flock, those who will yet believe in him before he comes again to gather us all into the new heavens and the new earth in the resurrection. But how will he bring them? By sending out his voice so that they may hear it and come in. By sending out His gospel into the world. And you know very well that the gospel is not come to church because it's fun and it will make you feel good. No, the voice of the shepherd goes out, as St. Paul wrote, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Finally, keep the cross in view when you consider to what life the shepherd has called you. To this you were called, St. Peter wrote in today's epistle. To what? To do good and suffer patiently. This is your calling as sheep, as those who have heard the voice of the Good Shepherd and have trusted in Him for forgiveness of sins. This is your calling, to do good, to love God and your neighbor according to God's commandments, to be devoted to hearing and learning God's word, and to serving other people selflessly. And then also to be prepared to suffer for it willingly, patiently, without hating in return or sinning in return, and without complaint. Why? Because this is the way of the shepherd with his cross. Christ also suffered for us, Peter wrote, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. The gift of eternal life was purchased by the shepherd with his cross. The giving of that gift of life comes through the preaching of the shepherd with his cross. And the life that the sheep are now to lead is exemplified by the shepherd with his cross. Know the Lord Jesus as your shepherd, but know the shepherd through his cross. The word of his cross and the word of his Easter victory over death is the green pastures in which he makes you to lie down, and the still waters beside which he leads you. The word of the cross is how he restores your soul with the continual forgiveness of sins, and how he leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The word of the cross is how he comforts you in times of sorrow and even in the face of death, so that you don't despair, so that you have no fear of evil. The word of the cross is how he makes you victorious over your enemies, sin, death, and the power of the devil. How he fills your cup with joy and gladness. How he pursues you with his goodness and his mercy all the days of your life. And how he preserves you even to the end, so that you may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Cling to the shepherd's cross and hold it ever before your eyes. And remember that this, above all things, is why you call him good. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.